Welcome to the AERA Classroom Assessment Special Interest Group podcast. My name is Erin Riley-Lipo, and I'm here with Dr. Heidi Andrade and Edwin Brathwaite today to talk about all things formative assessment. First, I'll start by introducing the guests. Dr. Heidi Andrade is a professor of educational psychology and methodology at the University of Albany, SUNY. Her work focuses on the relationships between learning and assessment, with emphasis on student self-assessment and self-regulated learning. Hi, Heidi. How are you today?
Hi, Erin. I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
Not so bad. Not too bad. And then I have Edwin Brathwaite. He's a certified science and dance educator, and he teaches at Meyer Levin Performing Arts School, IS 285, for the past 20 years. He's a native of Barbados, West Indies, and he facilitates the New York Citywide Dance Professional Development, Arts Monday, and workshops for Dance Educational Laboratory. Hi, Edwin. How are you today?
I'm good, Erin. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's definitely my pleasure. Thank you for joining us. So I know both of you wanted to thank some behind the scenes people, or maybe in front of the scenes people. I'll let you do that.
All right. I'd like to begin by acknowledging and thanking Maria Palma, the Executive Director of the Office of Arts and Special Projects at the New York City Department of Education, and also Joanna Heffron, who recently retired from a nonprofit in New York City called Arts Connection. They started this work on formative assessment in the arts. They found grant after grant after grant to fund it, and they have served as our guiding lights for well over a decade. We would not have had such an impact on arts education in New York City and beyond if not for them. So hearty thanks to both of them.
And Edwin, you said you wanted to call out some people as well?
Yes, I'd like to personally thank also Charlene Blake, who is the director of dance for the City of New York, and my principal, Jamie Hendrickson, who have supported me, and also Heidi and all those who have poured into me in this work. So I just want to thank them.
That's wonderful. Why don't we start there? How did you two meet? In what ways do you work together?
Okay, I had the opportunity of meeting Heidi of I would say several years ago for we were doing Arts Monday, and we were looking at that of formative assessment in the arts and its role in the arts and in the classroom. And the information that was shared just catapulted me to want to know more about this tool and how I could use it to engage my students. And, you know, it really helped me in a sense that 1 year on my teacher review, my principal came in and saw some of the work that I was doing with my students based on what we were doing, and I received fours. So that was really great.
Yay!
And so I know it works. And, you know, I continue to tweak and edit it. So that's how I met Heidi several years ago.
Nice. Heidi, how do you want to speak to your meetings as well?
Sure. The Arts Mondays that Edwin just referred to are an extension of the work that we started a long time ago when we had our first grant on formative assessment in the arts. And the idea was to use formative assessment to support learning by teachers and by students. And so we worked with all four, we provided professional development to arts educators in all four arts forms, dance, theater, music, and visual arts. And when we first got there, the teachers many years ago now, before formative assessment was as popular as it is, the arts educators said, you can't assess the arts, right? And we said, well, no, you can. And in fact, you do it all the time, and you have a very sophisticated vocabulary of assessment and critique in the arts. And they said, well, you shouldn't assess children's art because you'll ruin their motivation to engage in art making. And they said, well, just hang with me for a minute, because we're talking about a different kind of assessment here. It's formative assessment. It's for learning. And after that, it just blossomed from there. And so the arts educators recognized that formative assessment was actually a natural, organic, integral part of learning to be artists and learning to produce and perform in the arts. And they they generated some of the most amazing things that I have ever seen, including Edwin, who has these practices of involving not just students in peer assessment, but also parents. And so I would like to invite him in talking a little bit about how he has, what he has actually done in his dance classrooms, especially, but also science, to share with people.
Thank you, Heidi. Well, I must say that COVID hit and I had no clue. I had done all this work. We had looked at formative assessment and my students were in the middle of completing their projects. And I thought, oh goodness, how do I assess them? How do I give them a final grade? How do I support them in the work that they've been doing all along? And I thought, okay, we are using this Liz Lerman protocol, so why not use that to just have students talk about their work? So one of my students sent in a project which was given where she had to look at photographs based on certain photographers that incorporated that of danced ideas. And based on that, the student created movement ideas and developed from there a discussion that I had asked about two questions in reference to the work. So having seen that student work, I thought, okay, let's put this protocol into practice.
Say a little bit about the protocol, right? So what's Liz Lerman protocol?
So the protocol is that the presenter or the artist presents their work. It could be a group present their work, and then they receive feedback. So part of that feedback includes things that they might value in reference to the work that they've seen. Then the other part to it is that the presenter gets to answer a question that they're interested in learning about their work. It might be, for example, do you think the costumes work? Or how did it feel when the dancer did whatever the case may be? And from that, then the viewers and those who observed the work would give feedback. Then also following that, the responders would get an opportunity to ask questions about the work. And then finally, the other process is, of course, then the presenter gets the opportunity to hear feedback from some of the responders, and they get to give permission as whether they want to receive that feedback or not.
So which for me was structured.
It's really structured. And for me, it was really exciting for the opportunity to say no. Right. Because often when I think of my own childhood, how often did we say no or allowed to say no, that this is enough information being given?
Or that's not the information that I'm asking for.
It's precisely.
The dancer gets to say, I want to know if you thought the costumes work. That's all I'm working on right now during this feedback session. I don't want to hear about other things right now. And so the cool thing about the Liz Lerman protocol is that the artist, the dancer in this case, really owns the process. And it's very centered on what that dancer is working on at that time. And that, I think, is one thing that makes it really different from a lot of other feedback protocols, including things that we use a lot. And Edwin, I know you use too, like the ladder of feedback, which is very, very centered on the audience, the peers' perceptions. But the Liz Lerman protocol is really focused on what the person getting feedback wants to learn more about. And I think it's really powerful in that regard. And you did it via Zoom.
Yes, I did it via Zoom. So the young lady decided that she would share her work. So I also had two other students from that class go through the process. So one of the students was a facilitator, and the other student played a role as the responder. Of course, the facilitator had the opportunity to also share what, in this case, there were three female students, what she saw. And that allowed for great discussion among these students via Zoom. And it was really exciting because also normally you would not get the opportunity for a parent to be involved in the process, because normally it's done in a classroom setting and, you know, it's void of parents. But the parent was actually there, a part of the process, as her daughter was presenting the work and sharing the work. And then she heard the feedback. And she was good enough to let the process go through its cycle. And then at the end, I wanted her to be engaged in the process. So I asked her about what she had experienced. And she talked about the fact that she might have been worried, how it would have impacted her daughter's work, but that she was happy to be a part of this process, being engaged in looking at art in this new way, and just hearing also how the students were talking about the work. You know, and that for me was really an eye opener, because it just was that little extra thing that I needed that told me that this is something that is valuable and should be utilized in a classroom. And I'm still using that today in reference to my students when they do an individual project and we go through this process. In the classroom in science, I've engaged my students when they have presentations where we are using the ladder of feedback. So that's how I'm currently using this feedback in reference to work and doing this formative assessment to help students develop a sense of self-awareness and make decisions and build relationships.
Yeah. Okay. There is so much going on in there. Can I jump in and ask him about that?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So the ladder of feedback we should explain is a different protocol. So in our work in arts education in New York, we focused a lot on students giving, knowing what counts. So what are the criteria, brainstorming criteria, setting goals for their own work, and then giving feedback to each other and themselves, right? Which you can do once you know what the goals are and where you're headed. That's all. Everybody listening knows that's what formative assessment is about. And so we used a lot of protocols. Liz Lerman protocol is one, and the ladder of feedback is another. And I would say, actually, I'm saying we used a lot, but those are the main two. With really little kids, we use two stars and a wish sometimes. But the ladder of feedback is from my mentor, beloved mentor, Dave Perkins, who taught me that good feedback has four steps. And the first is asking questions of clarification, because you cannot give good feedback about a piece of work you don't understand. Then commenting what you value, not what's good about it, but what I value, because I own my perspective on the feedback. And then commenting on concerns, not what's wrong with it, but what concerns me, because again, I own my perspective on the feedback. And then commenting on suggestions for revision, which are just suggestions, not mandates, because feedback is feedback, not a mandate. So we have done this again and again and again with students in New York City arts education, and the effects are incredible. We have documented empirical evidence of effects on learning. But what the teachers, including Edwin, talk about the most, and I'd like you to elaborate, Edwin, if you would. What they talk about the most is how did you say it, Edwin? Formative assessment becomes a normalizer and equalizer. Can you talk about that?
Yes. When I mentioned that, you know, we often have this pull between that of the educator and the student, or against yes, that power element between that of the teacher and student, student to student relationship. And with this, it really helps using formative assessment, whether it's that of Liz Lerman or the ladder of feedback, is that it puts everybody on the same perspective. We're looking through the same lens. We're looking through the same window, and we're looking at the same thing. And we are describing it in ways using specific vocabulary that we've already been exposed to. And for me, that is empowering. It also, for example, I have students who sometimes may not want to work with another student for whatever reason. And they often think that, or it's because they're looking at that specifically, maybe the technique or something else other than that. But with this formative assessment, it really allows students to norm, to know exactly what they're looking for in the work. And it takes the onus out of the individual, which is the I and how I did it, but it's focused on the work. And that for me has been very, very important, because often when we think of feedback, we often think of it, it's the person, not the work. But here with this formative assessment and these tools that we're using, it's really helping students to see it's about the work. It's not about the person. And it's about how do we improve this body of work. And for me, that's why it's a normalizer, because it just takes away every ounce apart from everyone else. We're all in this together, and we know exactly, we're looking through this window, we're looking at this tree, and we know what the vocabulary is for that tree, and we are describing it according to what we see based on that vocabulary. And that for me is very empowering.
It sounds really powerful. I do have a question. So how do you introduce a tool or protocol like this to your students? Because I'm sure when they come into the class, this might not be something they've worked with before, right? This might be a little different, to say the least.
Do you want me to answer, or?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Okay, so one of the things that I've often done with this is I model it. It's important to model it for the students first. So if I have my students doing a presentation of their work and I want to introduce them to this protocol, I'm going to go through the steps of the protocol. And I'm going to, whether it is on or monitoring a classroom, whether it is a poster or some of the sort, I am going to go through the steps and model what the expectations are in reference to the work. And I will then do it again and encourage students to go through the process and give their feedback, still guiding through the process. And as I do it constantly, then my students get so excited about wanting to do it. They want to lead it. Just recently, I was doing it with my eighth graders as they were doing their senior work. And one of the students said to me, "Miss Brown, I want to do it. I want to lead it." I said, "Okay, so you got it. Go with it." And from that moment on, I didn't have to demonstrate it anymore, because they understood what the process was and why we were doing it. And that was key. So the rollout is important. For me, it starts with modeling for the students what those expectations are. And it may just be one or two things. We may just, if we're doing Liz Lerman, we are maybe just talking about the ideas of what do we value about the artist's work. We can start with simply that. And then we can continue to build as we go forward. So I scaffold it in a way to support students learning.
And eventually they'll start policing each other. They'll say, stop. We're just talking about what we value right now.
Exactly. Yes. And so wonderful sometimes sitting back seeing this, because it becomes this community of learners. And they are going to make sure that everything runs in the way it's supposed to be done. And that's key. And that's really key, because we really want to make sure that students are able to understand not only how the tool is used, but the value of this tool. And that's, for me, is very important. So that's how I have rolled it out with my students in my classroom. And that has been successful.
I want to highlight something that has come up a couple of times in Edwin's description of what he does, which is that he said they have the vocabulary, right? So they know how to talk to each other. They're all looking through the same window. And that's another thing we noticed in a lot of the work with formative assessment in arts classrooms across the art forms, is that students start to talk like artists. And that's because they have the vocabulary, they have the concepts. You know, now they know what to look for in a piece of work. And so they start sounding like their teachers. And their teachers are often artists first and teachers second. And so to hear them talk like artists is amazing. And it's definitely the result of engaging in formative assessment this way in meaningful ways that they value and embrace.
It sounds so powerful.
It really does.
It really is. It's really cool to see it in action, coming back from COVID, it was in the classroom and having my students do their January projects where they're expected to create their own exercises, do a combination, go across the floor and do a combination, and then they go through this process using the Liz Lerman protocol. It was really engaging to see. And then students started also to record the information, document what they heard. So one student would document the information. This is what I've added, where one student had documented the work. And I mean, we also recorded it, but one student actually wrote down the information and then shared it with the presenter at the time. So these are all things, and that helps to develop critical thinking skills. It helps to improve the decision-making process. It enhanced the problem-solving ability within anything that they do, and it refines the research in reference to the word as to what we're looking for. And it polishes the creativity, which is key. And lastly, when you think about critical thinking, it stimulates the curiosity because now we're thinking about what could be next. What does it look like with maybe that suggestion, right? What does it look like if I took away this? Or I added that. So that's where it's leading if it continues to be something that we're using constantly in reference to.
Right. And then they begin to experiment and take risks. And it, so, like I said in the beginning, this is really an organic part of the artistic process. And so they embrace it and they start looking and acting like artists and creative individuals.
I really
And
like
that's
what you
what we
said.
want.
Yeah.
Wow. I
Right.
really like what you said. Like they're taking the feedback and using it to feed their work forward. You
Or
know, they're
not.
really
It's
thinking.
up to them. Right.
Yeah, or
Yes. And
not.
but
Or
there's,
not.
yeah, it's up to them. But feed
Precisely.
forward. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's they're taking the feedback if they choose and using it to feed forward. And that is so exciting to see because so often you hear, oh, you know, students, they don't want feedback. They won't revise, right? Not true. Definitely not true. When they are engaged in a genuine process of reflection on their own performance, their own learning, it's transformative, really.
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah.
So I do have to ask, you've mentioned COVID a few times, and I also, in our email communications, you talked about how sometimes this also can be a support in their social and emotional learning. Would you like to speak to that, what you've seen, what you've experienced?
Well, for me, it was the some of that included the awareness of themselves and their roles in the discussion. They learn if they need to talk up more or if they need to take a step back. And that's a part of also being self-aware. That awareness of what am I playing in that group, right? That's part of social emotion and just managing how they're engaging with the group as well. Am I giving too much feedback in reference to, am I letting others speak? Those are all things we want the students to think about when we talk about that social emotional aspect. Also, relationship skills, talking, taking turns talking,
Listening,
right? Listening.
genuine, really listening closely to what other people have to say.
Yes. And then they're using these additional say, or in addition to, or they're saying, based on what Heidi has said, now I would like to add on to that. And there's this discussion and this dialogue because we know that they're actively listening to what each other is saying. So it brings that social emotion, also decision making, right? They're helping their classmates to make a decision about their work or a suggestion, a re reference about their work. So really, these are the skill sets we want our students to have and to be engaged in. So, by using formative assessment, it really allows for all these aspects. We're looking at the social emotional aspect of the child. We allow them to think critically, and that is the value of using this formative assessment. And it's all in one simple activity that you're getting these higher level thought processes happening at the same time.
Okay, but it's not simple. It's simple for you now because you've been doing it for so long.
No, but I was about to say that it takes work, though. It takes work. It really, it's not something that you can do once and give up. It's a process. It's a process. And for me, as I continue to do this work, I'm seeing it through a different lens, and it allows me to see the role that it plays in reference to social emotional learning, critical thinking, how it engages all aspects of different classes, as in science, which is I've also do as well. But it really, it's for me, it's easier doing it in the arts than I have found it in science class.
Can you speak to that for us? I'd like to hear more.
For me, why is it? Because I guess the art itself, the structure of how the class is taken, and often we are looking at work, masterworks, and we are allowed to have that discussion and the feedback. It just lends itself to the artistic lens that we're looking through.
Well, let me ask,
Science.
though, if you do you identify as a dancer first or a scientist? I know
Wow.
the
I would say dancer first. I
Okay.
keep moving. I'm even moving in science class. My
Right.
students often look at me every so often, but
Well, if you identified as a scientist first, you might find this easier to do in science than in dance because you think like a dancer.
So the idea of transitioning that in reference to also why I'm saying this is because even though some of the structures of how the class should run, which is I do, you do, those kinds of ideas that we are expected to model with dance, it seems to be there's some kind of natural aspect to it as well. Science as well, but the discussion process is something we don't often get to do a lot of,
But we should.
that I feel. But we should. But we should. And that's where I am, and that's one of my focus for next school year, to really document my practice using these feedbacks in science classroom. I've documented some work that my students did a few months ago based on some projects that they did in the latter feedback, but I need and I want more of it.
Let me jump in on the comment about documentation to point out that the work we've been doing in New York for over a decade is grounded in really high quality, extraordinary, and expensive professional development. So, one of the great things that's been done is we don't just go in and because Maria keeps getting these grants, we don't just go in and say, okay, here's how you do formative assessment, do a one-shot workshop and leave. We do professional learning around formative assessment, and then the teachers get in professional learning communities, PLCs, and they get together across schools because most arts educators are lonely in their own schools, so they get together across the city. And furthermore, they do action research on, and that's where the documentation comes in. So they ask a question, how will this particular formative assessment tactic play out in my classroom, in my unit on, whatever, maybe the Liz Lerman, maybe this dance unit. And then they document, carefully document, like scientists, I might point out, Edwin,
Yes,
and then
experimental.
bring it back to their professional learning community, to their group, and say, this is what's been happening. Okay, so there's feedback, layers and layers and layers of reflection and implementation and experimentation and feedback. And so there's formative assessment in the teachers' professional learning communities while they do formative assessment in their classroom. It's incredibly rich. And that is how this has played out in hundreds of arts educators in New York City. And that's why we're getting really good results.
Wow. I'm sorry, I've said wow a bunch of times, but that sounds so wonderful. And I think what you said about teaching in isolation, it didn't even occur to me that there might only be one theater arts teacher, one art teacher in the building. Yeah. So Edwin, how many teachers do you work with in a PLC?
Well, I usually work with about 5 to 6 educators. Yeah, and with that, then it cycles through. So they're those that I'm working with all year, and then also we have the facilitators. All the dance facilitators get together, and they share their work, which is also great. So we get the opportunity to work. I get the opportunity to work with dance educators who are in my district, and then I also get to work with dance educators who are citywide in doing this work, which I like that cycle and reference because it builds and it gives me a sense of what others are doing within their communities. So the program is, well, in the sense that it's grassroots in with those dance educators who are in the classroom. And then I get the opportunity to work with the facilitators. And then I get the opportunity to work with other facilitators who might be in other disciplines.
Right, so the facilitators are the people who facilitate each individual professional learning community. And so there's also professional learning about how to be a good facilitator. And Edwin is one of those because he's really good at it. So again,
the facilitators are teachers.
Yes.
Yes.
And so again, it's really rich professional learning opportunities for the arts educators. And that's why they stick around for how many? 8 years now, Edwin?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Very
much so. You kind of get addicted to it.
You do. Very much so. Very much.
So did I. I hope it never stops.
I don't think it will for me because the testimony to this is what I see in the classroom. Yeah. And, you know, often when I take my students to performances, people often say, well, oh, your students are so articulate.
Yeah.
That's what I want them to be. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that we're doing this work, because we're using this formative assessment, because we are having these feedback protocols that we're discussing, they're comfortable saying it to anyone. And that's what you want.
Yeah, they think and talk like dancers now.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. This sounds like, it just sounds so magical. I wish I could see it in action.
Oh, you can. We have a website. There's great videos. You should go to artsassessmentforlearning.org website. It's a little dated by now. Edwin's not featured there yet, which...
I did want to end with our newsletter. We always have a what we've been reading section. So I think this is kind of a natural discussion now that we're talking about maybe posting things on the newsletter. What have you two been reading, or what maybe do you plan to read now that it's summer? Edwin, I teach K to 12 as well. So I know summer is a time where I read.
So. For me, it's I'm looking forward to just, which I often say, go to the well and refresh. And that's through going to performances and also reading. So get out of your head, which is sometimes I have to tell myself, which is a book by Jeannie Allen. That's what I'm looking at reading. And also Atomic Habits by James.
Oh.
Yeah, so those are on my reading list. I have a few others as well. But those are the two that I'm looking forward to getting into.
How about you?
I have a very long work-related reading list, of course, as everyone does, but I will just mention something that I don't have to read that I'm enjoying reading very much, mostly enjoying. It's the 1619 Project book by Nicole Hannah-Jones and her co-authors. It's not light reading. It's pretty strident, but it's amazing. It's opening my mind in ways that feel exhilarating, if not always comfortable. And so I recommend it highly.
Wow, these all sounds like really good reads. Maybe I'm going to add them to my list.
Good luck getting through your reading list this summer.
I know. I've already got three books on my nightstand just waiting to be cracked.
Right.
So I have to thank you both so much for being here. This was a lovely, lovely conversation. And I learned so much about your programs. This was excellent.
Thank you.
So thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Yes.
And I hope you both have wonderful summers. And Edwin, I hope you bring all of this into your science action research next year, if that's the plan.
So. That is the plan. Yes, thank you.
No doubt you will. I know you well enough to know.